This morning's reading is taken from Mark 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the more important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and that there is no other but him. To love him with all of your heart, with all of your understanding, with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. So, as Martin said, this is the first Sunday of Lent, and so we are beginning our Lent sermon series, which I have rather unimaginatively called Big Questions. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the big questions of life. So this week, I thought I would ask the fount of all wisdom for some questions. I refer, of course, to Amazon Alexa. So I said to her, "Alexa, ask me some questions." And these, in order, are the questions that she thought were the most important to ask me, and my answers to them. Her first question was, "Do you have a motto?" To which the obvious answer is, "No, normal people don't have a motto." Second question, "If you could choose right now, would you rather be a boy or a girl?" Obviously very topical, but for me personally, the answer is easy. I mean, shaving is tough, but let's be honest, it's much easier being a boy than being a girl, and I'm all about the easy life, so I'm content with that. The third question, "When was the last time you cried?" The last time for me was last Friday in the car on the way up to Manchester listening to Bob Mortimer's autobiography. Honestly, if you start talking about a time when a family really stuck together in trying times, I will blubber like a baby. So that was the last time I cried. Next question. "Do you think you're a cool person?" Yes, obviously. And no, you cannot answer. Yeah, whether anyone else thinks so is up for grabs. Next question. This was a weird one. "Do you think holidays are a good thing?" Who doesn't think holidays are a good thing? Then, which part of your body would you like to change? Absolutely none of your business. And then, finally, and this was a good question, I thought, "When was the last time you helped a stranger?" So for me, I think it wasn't much, but about two weeks ago on a train, a very, very crowded train between East Croydon and Clapham Junction, there was a lady next to me who was getting squashed, so I used my bulk and my big white stick to maneuver some room for her and maintained that for the journey. Not a lot, but it was the last time I helped a stranger. So I thought, well, those questions are all fine, a bit weird, but they're okay. So I tried a different tack. So I said to Alexa, and by the way, I'm really enjoying the fact that for those people who will be listening to this on the website afterwards, every time I say the word Alexa, all their devices in their house are going to pop up. So that'll be fun. So if you're listening to this later, we hope you're enjoying that. So anyway, I said to Alexa, "What is the most important question in life?" And actually, she replied with something that I thought was quite profound. She said, the question of what living is for. of what we care most about and why is the most important question in life. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be asking a whole bunch of questions. We're going to be asking things like, who is Jesus? Who am I? Am I accepted? What about suffering? What brings fulfillment? But today, we're beginning with the question, what matters most? So Alexa's question fits in beautifully with that. So I wonder, if I were to ask you now, what matters most to you? I wonder what your answer would be. And at this point, I'm not interested in what you think the holy answer should be, but what actually the answer is. And I suspect that for each of us, it will be different. It will depend on who we are, our circumstances, what's going on in our life, what has happened in our life, how old we are probably as well. I mean, when I was 5, sweets mattered most. When I was 12, football mattered most. When I was 17, girls mattered most. When I was 25, one particular girl mattered most. Her name was Katie. No, her name was Tors. When I was 30, my kids mattered most. But for each of us at different points, I wonder what matters most. Maybe it's exam results, or financial security, or health, or well-being, or football, or politics, or pets, or power, or position, or doing something good in the world, or family. All of those things might matter most to us. The thing is with all those things, of course, is that to some degree or other, they are tentative and temporary. Now, this may shock you, but I'm a Christian. And so when I want to think about what matters most, I'm quite keen to find out what Jesus thinks. And in the passage that Steve just read to us, a lawyer comes and asks Jesus what matters most. Now, he's a lawyer, so he phrases it in kind of legal terminology. He says, what's the most important commandment? What's the most important law? But really what he's asking Jesus is, what matters most in life? Now, in different gospel accounts, this man, this lawyer, is presented in different ways. In one account, he's genuinely interested to hear what Jesus has to say. In other ones, he's trying to trick him. So we're not entirely sure what his motive is. But I think we can be fairly sure that what he's expecting from Jesus is for Jesus to give one of the 613 commandments that the Pharisees tried to live their lives by. Maybe he was especially expecting Jesus to give one of the Ten Commandments as his answer. But Jesus, as so often, doesn't answer in the expected way, but rather answers in a more subtle and infinitely more profound way. So when Jesus is asked, what is the most important commandment, he actually doesn't respond in the first instance with a commandment. He responds with a prayer. The Shema is an ancient Jewish prayer that is still prayed by millions, I guess, of Jewish people today, often in the morning and in the evening. And the Shema, or the first part of the Shema at least, says this. It's taken from a passage in the book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And so that's how Jesus begins his answer, with a litany, with a prayer. What Jesus manages to do by starting with the Shema and then adding in, and secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. Instead of giving one commandment, one bit of law, he sums it all up in a couple of short sentences. He sums up the whole of the law and the prophets. He sums up the Ten Commandments. At this point, I think it's worth saying that when we think about commandments, it's easy to get wrapped up in the whole thou shalt not thing, which sounds a bit like an angry God demanding that we curry divine favor. But actually, the whole point of the commandments is God saying, this is the best way to live. This is how you and your community will thrive the most. This is how you will flourish. So Jesus answers the question, what matters most? With the Shema, and then with love your neighbor as yourself. And I love that. I love the way he starts with the Shema, because it begins with here. So I guess for most of us, when we're asked what matters most, we're going to speak immediately. We're going to start talking to say what we think matters most. But Jesus begins it with listening to God and acknowledging that God is God. Actually, if we want to get a grip on what matters most in life, we have to begin there. So then he goes on then to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, mostly, people interpret that as two commandments. And that's understandable, because Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he says, and the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And so, over much of history, people have taken these as two commandments, the two most important things in life. But actually, I think there are three things here. And increasingly, people are beginning to talk in this way. Because actually, Jesus takes it as read that we love ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what I want to do today is to think about these three things. Love God, love yourself, love others. Because that's what I think Jesus is saying matters most. And I do think that they sum up beautifully everything in the Old Testament. And they sum up beautifully the Ten Commandments. There was a little boy who returned home from Sunday school one day with a drawing. And on it he'd drawn a man with a long white beard, a robe and a staff, and then several little men wearing army uniform. And his mum said, what have you drawn there? And he said, oh, it's Moses and his Ten Commandos. So, commandments, not commandos. And these, of course, are the central part of what God gives to the people as an encouragement about what is most important in life. And actually, these three things that God, that I believe Jesus is saying in our gospel reading today, reflect those beautifully. Because the first three commandments are all about loving God. So they are, don't worship any other god before God, don't make for yourself a graven image or idol, and don't misuse the name of the Lord. So, love God. The fourth commandment is all about the Sabbath. And historically, people have kind of bunged that in with the first three, as if that's part of loving God, and there is an element of that. But actually, the whole point of the Sabbath is that it's about God loving us, and about us loving ourselves and looking after ourselves. Sabbath is all about rest. So love yourself fits in with that commandment, I think. And then the final six commandments, honor your father and mother, don't commit murder or adultery, don't steal or lie, or I run out of fingers on this hand, I'll use this one, or do not covet. Those six are all about loving our neighbor. They're all about living in community. So these three things fully echo those, and I just want to look at each of them in a little bit more detail. So we begin, and it's right to begin, with loving God. What matters most in life is, I believe, loving God. So why is that first? Especially if for at least some of us, and perhaps for many of us if we're being honest, actually what matters most for us is our family or wanting to do something good in the world or whatever it might be. The reason I think that loving God comes first. It's because if we get that foundation in place, everything else follows on. If we have that foundation in place, everything else can be built upon that. So if we want to love our family, the best way to start is by loving God. In our prayers earlier, Mike spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. And I love that passage from Galatians. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Those fruit of the Spirit, which are all about how we love ourselves and also others. But the great thing about that imagery of the fruit is that fruit grows naturally. If a tree is rooted in good soil and has all the nutrients it needs and has the healthy sap running through it, then the fruit will naturally grow strong and healthy. And the same goes for us. If we are rooted in Christ, if we've got all the goodness of God, if we've got the sap of the Holy Spirit running through us, then we will naturally bear good fruit. We will naturally love others in a way that is healthier and more fulfilling than if we don't have that initial loving God in place to start with. So that is why I think we have love God first as the most important thing, what matters most in life. Because actually from that, everything good comes. So that's why, but what about how? Well, Jesus says, in the words of the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Basically, with everything that is within you. Interestingly, in some of the Gospels, the strength bit isn't included, even though it is included in the Shema, but I'm glad it is, because I think it's important. So I think here Jesus is saying, love God with your heart, that is to say, your emotions, with your soul, that is to say, with your spirituality, with your mind, that is to say, your brain, your intellect. Now, in some churches, you might be led to believe that you need to leave your brain at the door. But that's not what we believe here. And then fourthly, with your strength, that is to say, with your body, with your physicality. So we're called to love God with every bit of us. I wonder what that looks like for you this week. What does it mean to love God with your emotions, or your spirituality, or your brain, or your body this week? So what matters most? Love God. And then secondly, love yourself. And there's a reason why this is second. Because actually, I think if we want to be the best at loving others, we have to have a healthy and appropriate love for ourselves in the first place. If we're not able to receive, there's only so much that we're able to give before we burn out. But if you're anything like me, the thought of loving yourself, well, it just sounds a bit arrogant, doesn't it? Sounds a bit up yourself. In fact, we use it as an insult. Oh, she loves herself, doesn't she? Actually, we do need to love ourselves. We need to do that, of course, in an appropriate way. There are people amongst us who love ourselves a bit too much, and we need to, as it were, come down to a healthy point of loving ourselves. But there's also those amongst us who don't love ourselves enough and need to come up to having a healthy and appropriate love for ourselves. And the best image I can think of for this is that we are children of God. And that means, if we perhaps don't love ourselves enough, then it's helpful for us to know that we are children of God. That God loves us as only a parent can love their child. You know those really annoying parents who just gaze adoringly at their little son whilst he's pulling your kid's hair and, you know, poking their eyes out with a pencil? Well, God's a bit like that. I mean, he sees our failings, but he loves us with that kind of adoration. You are a child of God. You are precious and loved more than you can possibly imagine. If, on the other hand, we perhaps are someone who has rather too high an opinion of ourselves, it's important to remember that we are children of God, that we are still dependent upon him. We are not self-sufficient. we can grasp that sense of being children of God, then we will have, I think, an appropriate way of loving ourselves. And that is really important. So how do we do that? Well, one of the ways will be that whole Sabbath thing from the Ten Commandments. Resting. God decrees that for us because he knows it's good for us. And the truth is, we live in a society now where we need to hear that more than ever before. What does everyone say when you ask them how their week has been? I want some response here. What does everyone say? When you say, how's your week been? What's the response? Busy, hectic. I mean, 90% of the time, that's how we respond and how others respond. How's your week been? Busy. How are you doing? Yeah, good, but busy. How's things? Yeah, busy. We're so busy. One way that we can look after ourselves is by making sure that we have appropriate and healthy times of rest. And if that's something that you need to know more about, then I really recommend a book called The Elimination of Hurry. It's a really good, good book. I think it might be by John Mark Comer, but I'm not sure. It's well worth a read. So love God, love yourself, and then love others. Love your neighbor. So our neighbor, we find out from Jesus in the parable of the Good Samaritan, is everyone. Those close to us, those far away from us, those who are similar to us, those who are different to us. Love others. And so this is all about community. And that's what the final six commandments of the Ten Commandments are all about. Because being built to love God, we are built to live in community. And so what matters most in life is living in community in really healthy ways. I love what Desmond Tutu does as he kind of inverts the famous saying from Descartes. So Descartes says, I think, therefore I am. And Desmond Tutu added on, I am because we are. I am because we are. If we want to thrive in life, we have to thrive as part of community. So how do we do that? Well, actually, those final six of the Ten Commandments are a pretty good start. And some of them might feel a bit extreme. Maybe you think, well, I'm not really likely to commit murder or commit adultery. But Jesus takes those things even further. He says, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. But I say, don't get angry. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say, don't even think lustful thoughts. Actually, if we in our communities lived out all those six commandments, we would have communities that thrived and flourished. It might be that the most important one of all is do not covet your neighbor's ox. And I've all seen you looking at my ox. I know how much you covet it. Do not covet your neighbor's ox or wife or house or possessions. It's so easy to be jealous of those around us, isn't it? It's so easy to think, oh, they've got more than me. I just wish I had a bit more. The problem is with that kind of jealousy is it leads to some of the other things. It leads to perhaps stealing or perhaps to lying. So to little bits of corruption here and there which just help us. Or to thinking angry thoughts or lustful thoughts and maybe even acting on those things. Love your neighbor as yourself. I wonder if there's something in any of that that feels particularly pertinent to you this week. So, when Jesus is asked what matters most, he says this: love God, love yourself, love others. Now, the wonderful news is you don't have to be a brilliant theologian to make sense of that. You don't have to be able to understand every bit of the Bible. You don't have to be someone who's really clever. All of us can engage with what matters most. And here's the really freeing thing for us. Jesus says that actually this sums up everything, that you can kind of weigh everything else against those three things. So if you're thinking about doing something and it doesn't work, doesn't fit in with loving God, loving yourself, and loving others, don't do it. If you believe something which doesn't fit in with loving God, loving yourself and loving others, ditch that belief, because it's not godly. If you can't work out something in your life, or as you read the Bible, weigh it up against those three things. Does it fit in with those? And actually, one of the great things about being in community in a church like this is we can wrestle that out with one another. We can talk about it and work it out ourselves. But really, when it comes down to it, that's what we can do. Weigh up our decisions, our beliefs, the things that we want to do. Do they fit in with what matters most? Which is loving God, loving ourselves, and loving others. Right at the end of that passage that Steve read to us, the lawyer who'd asked the question says, "Oh, wow, you're right. You're right." And Jesus says to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." As I close, let me remind you, the kingdom of God is not something up there in the clouds. It's not something that happens after death. The kingdom of God is at our fingertips, and yet somehow elusive. But the kingdom of God breaks into our world every time we love God, every time we love ourselves in a healthy and appropriate way, and every time we love others. The kingdom of God is near. It's at our fingertips. And that's why those three things matter most. Because if we live those out, we play our part in the coming of the kingdom of God. And that is good news for everyone. So, if all of that is true, if that's what Jesus thinks matters most, what are you going to do about it in your life this week?